Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we start with Victor Marx to talk a little bit about child sex trafficking, a very important issue as it's National Sex Trafficking Awareness Day. We get into some other very important topics around January 6th, more broadly as the Department of Justice issues a new memorandum saying they're going to create a new department of the Department of Justice to go after domestic terrorism. We explain what that all means. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. We're building a new studio. We're hiring more staff. Go to charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. We start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. You can always email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Action-packed episode. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Today is National Sex Trafficking and Human Trafficking Awareness Day, and nobody better to help unpack that. And we'll weave it in with the political side of it, but our guest is a great friend, and he's not here to talk politics. He's just here to tell the truth, and that is Victor Marx. Victor, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, Charlie. Good to be with you today, brother.
You do great work, Victor. So walk through for our audience here just how real is sex trafficking and human trafficking in America today. You know, for a lot of our listeners that live in, you know, nice, peaceful suburban neighborhoods, you know, they might hear about this. So they might think, that doesn't impact me. How widespread is this, especially in places that you might not expect?
Yeah, well, let me put it this way. 1 in 3 girls will be sexually victimized by the time they're 18, and 1 in 5 males, so boys. So if you start there, every female you meet, out of 1 out of every 3 has experienced some type of sexual either assault or abuse. That gives you an understanding of how many millions have been affected by being sexually abused, which makes them very suspect to a lifelong trauma. But then there are those that are very suspect to being manipulated by predators and then trafficked. And that's an area that we specialize in, doing counter pedophile work. And we're doing the deal in the U.S. We have places in Southeast Asia, the Middle East, now south of the border in South America. We're very active in hunting, finding, bringing trauma relief, but then also a justice part. But what I want to tell Americans is we are launching an initiative today that could really help change and protect so many young people from being sex trafficked. So this is it. We call it Change the Equation. Our goal is to have trafficked girls, and we'll say girls right now, many of them are being groomed at 14, 15, 16, 17. But then they're actually turned into commercialized sex at 18. We want to see the laws change through proper legislation and through millions of people supporting this effort to change the age of a minor from 18 to 21 and what that means. And we're talking only in commercial sex trafficking, commercial sex work, is that will decrease the predator, the pimps, time that he needs to seduce, manipulate, groom, and then switch her on, because our laws are very, very effective for trafficking a minor and sex abuse. And law enforcement, the general law enforcement are the guys and ladies who wear the white hats, and they will go after, and they love working with us because we go after these predators. But I'll tell you, we need Americans to get behind us in this change of the equation. And right now, we believe we can get it done, but we need signatures. Mm-hmm. If people go to Victor Marx, MARX.com/change, there's a place they can sign up and put a signature in there so that we can start pressing what the government should be doing, and they're not.
There's a lot of different ways I want to unpack those. First, you know, as you go and hunt pedophiles, maybe you should look at CNN. I'm kidding. After the last couple weeks, you might have saw two of their staffers.
Oh, yeah.
One got arrested, one resigned in disgrace around that. What does the open border policies of this administration, how does that play into sex trafficking? And then can you define really kind of a scenario of what sex trafficking looks like for a 14, 15, or 16-year-old? And who's really behind this?
Yeah, first the border. There's actual footage of our teams being there using night vision. First point of contact, watching men bring children in because of our administration. Says if you're an adult, you bring a child into this country, you're accepted. But we were proving clearly that they're trafficking young children in. And it's horrible the way it happens. A case scenario might be they kill a mother who has a child who's on the migrant trail, but they just kill her and take the child. And this is, again, most of this is cartel sex trafficking. But here in the U.S., one of the best horrific statements I've ever heard was by a pimp who said, "We appreciate the dads and the stepfathers doing the prep work for us before we get the kids." And the whole landscape has changed.
What did he mean by that? Sorry to interrupt. What does that mean?
That young girls are being abused by their dads, stepfathers, and then it breaks their mind. There's an element of trauma, which makes their job so much easier. And listen, I want to tell people from a very personal standpoint. One, my father was a drug dealer and a pimp. And the second, I was abused as a kid sexually and left for dead in a commercial cooler. So I speak with a lot of personal passion about this. That's why it's so important that people really understand there's an evil behind this at every level. And, yeah, I think definitely people in the government and positions of authority and media want to cover and stop any type of open exposure, because look at what happened with CNN. And again, it's on both sides of the aisle because perversion,
no doubt,
doesn't have. Well,
yeah, you look at plenty of Republicans like Denny Hassert and all. I mean, we could go through the list. It's a bipartisan sickness and a spiritual rot. So just can you talk a little bit, though, about how widespread this is in different, you know, kind of different communities? To Atlanta, Chicago. Talk a little bit about that.
Big cities and small towns. It is not limited to a demographic, whether rich or poor. I think there's an overwhelming aspect of inner city. I remember some of the first kids that we worked with were being pimped by their mom. You know, and when we were working with kids who were incarcerated, but now it's grown to where, and again, music change, music programs, people, when high school kids started calling their girlfriend whores and they were pretending to be pimps. And then they actually started tricking their girlfriends out to where now the internet has changed all of this, where predators can groom, and then eventually snatch up girls. And boys, but, you know, girls, it's the easiest way to manipulate them. That's why I tell parents, without a real sense of who your child is communicating with online, be vigilant. And no child under your roof has the right to communicate to anybody. You don't know who it is.
Well, that's well said. So it's victormarx.com. Is that right, Victor?
Yes. /change. But victormarx with an X.com. Man, please. We want people to support and help us with the solution of changing the defined age of a minor in commercial sex trafficking from 18 to 21. That will ruin the pimps and predators who are grooming.
Sounds rather common sense. I don't know who could be against that. I'm sure we'd find somebody who would.
We'll see, won't we, when we are doing legislation. We'll see.
Someone would find a reason to oppose that. Victor, God bless you, man. Great to see you. Thank you for everything. Talk to you soon. Really appreciate
Thank you, brother.
Look, everyone out there has been asking me, Charlie, how do I get more pillows? Well, that's MyPillow.com. And it's promo code Charlie, actually. It's a great special. And MyPillow doesn't have their box stores anymore, so we got to help them out. And part of them being canceled, they want to give you the lowest price yet. So you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow regularly, $69.98. Now only $19.98 with the promo code. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, and $24.98 with a promo code. Or king size, usually $89.98, only $29.98 with your promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to new beds. The promo code Kirk also works on my store and frankspeech.com. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, or call 800-875-0425. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Last week, there was a lot of time spent on January 6th, but there is a major question. We've been covering it extensively, which is, what is the federal government's involvement, or what was the federal government's involvement on that day? Ted Cruz had an interview with Tucker Carlson last week and was going back and forth on a couple different topics. But Ted Cruz did a wonderful job today in a hearing asking whether or not FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th. Play cut 53.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadburn, who is Ray Epps?
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Could you? This is the amazing double standard of the citizen versus the ruler. Could you imagine that if the IRS audits you and you say, hey, what's that $355,000 Bitcoin transfer to Tunisia? I can't answer that. Hey, why did you expense flying to Sierra Leone with your family? I can't answer that. Is that an acceptable answer for a citizen against the government? Of course not. Now, good for Ted Cruz for asking this question and for trying to get to the bottom of it. But the answer is so clear. Of course the FBI was involved. If not, she would have denied it. She says, I can't answer that. I can't answer that. So she does know who Ray Epps is. Why hasn't Ray Epps been arrested? Why is Ray Epps, who said, we need to storm into the Capitol, he said it the night before and the day of, why has Ray Epps not been arrested? So the FBI is going to have one of two ways to cover up the Ray Epps situation. They're either going to arrest him because they have to. They have no other choice and basically give him a favorable court and kind of plea him down on the misdemeanor or whatever. Or on the other side, they're just going to continue to cover it up and not do anything with him at all whatsoever. Who planted the pipe bombs? Why has no one been arrested for the planting of the pipe bombs on January 6th? Now, for some Americans, this topic gets you very nervous, and it should, because what we're flirting around the edges of is not an intelligence failure, but an intelligence operation. What is becoming more clear, and Ted Cruz is one of the few people to actually ask it bluntly and directly, is, wait a second, you can't answer that? You can't answer whether or not FBI agents participated in violence? How much of the violence that day was FBI agents, and how much of it was actually just like QAnon, Chewbacca, shaman people? And make no mistake, it doesn't matter if there were FBI agents doing it alongside, those people should still be held accountable, but that certainly changes the narrative, doesn't it? Why was Ray Epps opening up gates and telling people to come at a certain place almost with chilling precision? He knew where to go and when to go there. Why is it that so few conservative media outlets are talking about this? These are really important questions. Ted Cruz was asked by Tucker Carlson, hey, have you found out who Ray Epps is? And good for Ted Cruz for picking up the loose ball and realizing that, yeah, there's actually half the country that's really super worried that our own taxpayer-funded domestic security apparatus may or may not be involved in infiltrating political groups. I remember when the media and the left used to write story after story after the infiltration of the Black Panthers. Now it just seems to be non-issue because it's against the people they don't like. Hillsdale College wishes to thank you for standing with them as they celebrate over 177 years of blessings. Since 1844, the Beacon of the North, the last college, Hillsdale College, has held fast to its mission to provide the kind of education essential to preserving free government. And for decades, the college has extended its educational mission on behalf of liberty through a variety of outreach programs. Perhaps you receive in Primus for every month, or have taken one of Hillsdale's excellent online courses, or attended one of Hillsdale's free regional events. You know of Hillsdale's refusal to take even one penny of government money. This independence allows the college to focus on promoting its core purpose, learning, character, faith, and freedom without government interference. And no time in our nation's history has there been a greater need for this kind of classical liberal arts education that Hillsdale offers on its campuses and nationwide. So during this season of blessings, Hillsdale thanks you for partnership in extending its mission to the country. To learn more about Hillsdale College and take their online courses, the Aristotle course, the Winston Churchill course, the Dying Citizen course, which I'm about to wrap up with Victor Davis Hanson. It's incredible. Check it out. New Victor Davis Hanson course. Go to charlieforhillsdale.com. Courses to learn about Western civilization, learn about God, learn about Genesis, the book of Genesis, the Constitution, and more. charlieforhillsdale.com. charlieforhillsdale.com. Department of Justice unveils new domestic terror unit as United States faces persistent and evolving threats a year after January 6th. How do they define a threat? Has the Department of Justice, run by Merrick Garland and his crony capitalist relationship with his son-in-law, have they rescinded the letter from the National School Board Association of America that was made in collusion with the Biden White House? Remember last summer, last fall, where the National School Board Association of America worked in tandem, worked in harmony to continue to partner together to crack down on moms and dads that show up to school board meetings across the country? Yet the Attorney General, the head of the Department of Justice, hasn't rescinded that letter. With that being said, we now have a new division, new branch of the Department of Justice that has unveiled a new domestic terror unit as the United States faces persistent and evolving threats a year after January 6th. So basically, the Department of Justice is starting a new department, a new division that will be focused on spying on parents, spying on moms and dads that don't like the curriculum that is being taught in local school boards. The new unit was unveiled days after the first anniversary of January 6th invasion. This is CNBC. CNBC used to be like a decent outlet. They are scum now. They're unreadable. I want you to read this. The new unit was unveiled days after the first anniversary of the January 6th Capitol invasion. So we've now gone from protest to riot to insurrection to invasion. Just so we're clear, invasion is worse than insurrection. Invasion implies you can use the Marines. You can use drones if you're being invaded. And this word is not being used by mistake. They're trial ballooning the word of January 6th. No, no, no. It wasn't just an attempt at insurrection, which it wasn't. No, no, no. It was Pearl Harbor. It was being attacked from an enemy. And now they have a new department, a new domestic terror unit within the Department of Justice to go after people's politics they don't like. The Department of Justice official told the Senate Judiciary Committee that the FBI has more than doubled the number of investigations open into suspected domestic terrorists since the spring of 2020. How do they define domestic terrorism? And by the way, how is January 6th an invasion, but the 2 million illegal aliens coming across our southern borders is not an invasion? So you have some 75-year-old grandmas that walk in and take a selfie in the Capitol Rotunda. Now, that's an invasion. Let's use the Marines against them. But 2 million Nicaraguans walk into the country and no one does anything. Or how about the billions of dollars in damage and the hundreds of thousands of buildings that were destroyed, or thousands of buildings that were destroyed in the Floydapalooza BLM protest riots? Department of Justice continues their domestic war against conservatives. The domestic terror unit is being established to, quote, augment our existing approach. Quote, this group of dedicated attorneys will focus on the domestic terrorism threat, helping to ensure that these cases are handled properly and effectively, coordinated apart across the Department of Justice and across our country. No mention in the CNBC article on how parents that show up to school board meetings are now effectively criminalized by our own government. And nor do we even know to what extent the FBI is actually creating terrorism in our own country. Senator Tom Cotton continues by asking the Justice Department Matthew Olson about January 6th. Tom Cotton asks him if there were plain-clothed FBI agents at the Capitol on January 6th. Good for you, Tom Cotton. It's a stud. Play cut 56.
Mr. Olson, on January 6, 2021, did the Department of Justice or FBI have any plainclothes officers among the crowd at the Capitol?
Senator, I'm not aware of whether or not there were plainclothes officers in among the crowd at the Capitol on January 6th.
Did any plainclothes officers enter the Capitol on January 6th?
I don't know the answer to that, Senator.
I don't know. I can't answer that. How about a Church and Pike committee? That would get to the bottom of it. These are really simple questions, by the way. He does know. He's lying under oath, obviously. He knows. Or saying that, hey, did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events around January 6th? I can't answer that. You see, the Democrats, they've made a massive mistake, obviously. They have a tendency to do this. And good for Cotton and Cruz for getting the clue is that if January 6th is all Democrats have in the calendar year of 2022 to try to hold on to political power, if January 6th is the only thing remaining that Democrats have to try and justify the expansion of the security state, then fine, let's talk about January 6th. Who planted the pipe bombs? Who is Ray Epps? What did the FBI know and when did they know it? They don't want to answer those questions. And something tells me that they're not going to like the continuation of the cross-examination or the legitimate separation of powers and checks and balances of Congress actually overseeing the FBI. Hey, how many people were there that day? What were they instigating? Well, I don't know. Do you notice they don't say zero? Do you notice they don't say, oh, none? Of course not. We had no involvement. What extent was the security apparatus involved? Was this an intelligence failure or an intelligence operation? And they say, I don't know, or they say, I can't answer that because they don't want to perjure themselves. This has got to be near the top of the list for the House of Representatives when they take back the House. And people, you know, the Democrats say, oh, history is not going to be kind to January 6th deniers. No one's denying anything. We don't like violence. If you committed it, you should go to jail against police officers. Okay. But let's take a step back. If the federal government was involved in this at all, this should be a bipartisan concern. This should be something that both parties should care about. Now, this domestic war on terror that has been largely accelerated by the Biden regime and by January 6th, you can really pinpoint it back to a story where somebody did enact a financial an investigative war on terror against conservatives. I remember when this entire story was unfolding. This was considered to be a conspiracy theory until it wasn't, and the media reluctantly covered it and covered it up. This person did not go to jail and still receives a pension from the United States government, from you, the taxpayer, for targeting churches, targeting constitutional groups, and targeting conservatives. Who is that? Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner was the head of the IRS. They're all following the IRS Lois Lerner playbook. They're all following the Lois Lerner deflect, don't answer a question, weaponize the fourth branch of government. And Fauci, as he's testifying in front of the Senate right now, is very similar in that way. Fauci is an extension, a continuation of the lack of justice that was never served to Lois Lerner. The Mueller FBI and the Department of Justice were collaborating with Lois Lerner's IRS to prosecute conservative groups. They're less ashamed of putting this in the shadows anymore. They used to have to hide it under the IRS and do things slowly. Now they're just like, yeah, we're going to start a domestic terror unit. We're going to hire people like Ray Epps, allegedly, and say we're going to storm into the Capitol. And when asked about it, we're basically going to say, yeah, I don't know. Play cut 42.
This is the dirty little secret about the IRS scandal. It involved the FBI and Justice Department, because the FBI and Justice Department were collaborating with Lois Lerner and the IRS to figure out ways to prosecute the very groups they shouldn't have, that Lois Lerner was suppressing. And the FBI got a million or so pages of records from the IRS. They had no right to under the law, and they had to return once they were caught by Judicial Watch in Congress.
We caught them.
We caught them. We exposed that this was going on.
Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, they exposed that the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Department of Justice were working with the IRS to prosecute conservative groups. But what used to be done in the shadows, they used to deny and deflect. They now have a Department of Justice has now unveiled a new domestic terror unit as the United States faces persistent and evolving threats after the invasion. They are equating January 6th to D-Day, except they're acting as if we're the ones that are being invaded. That it would respond, a military response is when you start using words like invasions. And so you put all this together, you have to ask yourself, does the current regime have any interest in actually governing the 75 million Americans that don't share their fundamental transformation agenda? And they don't. They want to try to suppress you, silence you, censor you. They want to intimidate you. They want you to be afraid to speak out at a local school district. They are posturing for a massive mobilization for attack. And so here's an interesting question. Who's to say the FBI isn't infiltrating school board meetings? Is the FBI infiltrating moms and dads groups that are parents that are showing up to question their kids' education? Is the FBI infiltrating Tea Party groups or MAGA groups? How many FBI agents will be at the Trump rally this weekend in Florence, Arizona? Until we find out an answer from the Federal Bureau of Investigation of who's Ray Epps, and they're not giving senators direct answers. They are only further encouraging a Church and Pike Committee 2.0. Was it an intelligence failure or an intelligence operation?
Look, as I'm recording this episode right now, I'm using a very important product. Listen carefully. It's called ExpressVPN. They anonymize your data. You can surf the internet freely without wondering who's getting a hold of your search history or viewing habits or what they will do with that information. Do you want the government to be reading over your shoulder every time you go online? There's never been a more important time to protect your internet activity. That's why I urge you to get ExpressVPN. When you search for something online, watch a video, or click a link, it all gets tracked by big tech companies. They match your activity to your true identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, these companies can't see my IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server, and my data is encrypted for maximum protection. And besides hiding my internet activity, what I like most about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you're protected. So stop handing over your data willingly. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie right now to learn more.
What is a citizen? Well, citizen is someone who hopefully believes in the future of the country that they're in. They're legally domiciled there. That would be an important point. Citizen is someone who knows the history and has some sort of stake or opinion in the future. The founding fathers were very clear about who they thought should be able to vote, and the thought process is that you must have a vested interest in the country in order to vote. You must be a citizen. Now, that would be an uncontroversial statement. If I would be hosting the Charlie Kirk Show, what, 4 years ago, 3 years ago? And I wouldn't say, hey, only citizens should vote. And I had some really unhappy leftist. I repeat myself, unhappy leftist. There are no happy leftists. If I had some leftist next to me, I said, yeah, of course, only citizens should vote. The largest city in the country is now allowing 800,000 non-citizens and illegals to vote. Mayor Eric Adams, who is supposed to be this great mayor of New York, he's honestly on pace to almost be worse than de Blasio at this point. Would you agree, Andrew? He's awful. It's really bad. I mean, within the first couple days, he approves this new piece of legislation that if you are a non-citizen, so for example, if you're a tourist from Singapore and you overstay your visa, you could vote in New York elections. Why not? New York, more than 800,000 non-citizens and dreamers in New York, otherwise known as criminals, in New York City will have access to the ballot box and could vote in municipal elections as early as next year. Opponents have vowed to challenge the new law, which the city council approved a month ago. More than a dozen communities across the United States have already allowed non-citizens to vote. Do you see how they move the Overton window? So they do it first in places like Vermont and Central California, so then it seems as if it's not that radical. This it's a masterclass in the Overton window. Man, if I write that book on the Overton window, this would be a perfect example. I should write that book on the Overton. It's a separate issue. Non-citizens still wouldn't be able to vote for president. Oh, yeah, of course, because they'll leave that blank, obviously. Or members of Congress, or in state elections that pick the governor, judges, and legislators. But they'll be able to vote in local elections. The Board of Elections must now begin drawing a new implementation plan for the 800,000 new voters. You start to see where the Overton window is going to move everybody. Remember we say that Biden wants the 2 million El Salvadorians for votes? Right here. They're voting. And then Governor Gavin Newsom wants California to be the first state to provide health coverage to all border jumpers and vigilantes that call themselves immigrants. We also shouldn't allow illegals count towards the Electoral College and congressional district allocation. We've said that for quite some time. The fact Republicans haven't made an argument around that shows you everything you need to know about the Republican Party. Weak and dumb. It's a nice combination of most Republicans. But why is New York doing this? Well, New York's losing population, so they need to compensate for their political power through trying to increase it through illegals. So I just want you to know the window is moving so quickly, and this is what bothers me about moderate Republicans, is the constant concessions. Like, oh yeah, I guess that's okay. Do you realize how much the country has changed in 10 years? You have people that are not citizens that are now able to vote in New York elections. ABC 13. This might pave the way for Congress to act on dreamers. Oh, and city council member Yadonis Rodriguez. We build a stronger democracy when we include the voices of immigrants. Why don't we just allow the citizens of the United Arab Emirates to vote? Why don't we just say, we're going to have mail-in drop-off boxes in Dubai? And you know what? It's only fair. We got to be equitable. Cairo. Drop boxes in Cairo. How about anyone who's ever wanted to be an American worldwide can log in and vote in our elections? That makes our democracy stronger, doesn't it? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always. freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to subscribe to our show, please do so. Make sure you're subscribed by hitting the upper right-hand plus sign in the upper right-hand corner, I should say. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.